You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, NSYNC is more than just a boy band that started in 1995 to 2002. You know, it's interesting when you're NSYNC with your own life. You know, a lot of people don't really know what that means and how to understand and to recognize that you actually are NSYNC with synchronicity on your side. So we're going to talk tonight about being in sync in your life, what synchronicity is, and how to identify when you're actually in sync with everything that's going on day to day in your life. You know, I think it's interesting. That's one of the bases of my practice, is to talk about being in sync, to help clients figure out when they are in sync and when they aren't. Because it's really obvious to me when people aren't in sync with their life, because they go opposite of what they should go. They make choices they shouldn't make necessarily. They do things that they might not have should have followed through with, or they should have followed through with, and it seems to take longer to go from point A to point B to achieve certain goals in life. And you know, because NSYNC is so much more than just a boy band, let's talk about what NSYNC really means. And are you in sync? And I think one of the first things about being in sync and having synchronicity in your life is to know and to understand if you're in the life flow. And I know that you've always heard those people go with the flow, going with the flow. You got to go with the flow, man. That's just the way it is, okay? Going with the flow. Well, what does it mean to go in life's flow? What does it mean to be in life's flow? And you know, Bill, it's so funny because you and I have worked together for so long. And I think that we totally understand the concept of being in sync, being that we've worked together forever now. It's like being in a band. Right?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, we are in sync. Otherwise, we would have killed each other.
Oh, yeah.
A long time
ago. Like a year ago, right?
Right. Well, over, more
maybe
than that.
Longer
probably.
Than that.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, I mean, and I think it's helpful to remember, you know, when you say in sync, well, the word sync, you know, in this case, we're not referring to, you know, the sink in the bathroom or the kitchen, okay? It's short for synchronization or synchronize. And so that means that all the individual working parts have to be working in harmony together.
Totally true.
Towards the same purpose. And to me, that's what being in sync means. So to take, you know, our example, we're both, you know, working towards the same goal. We each, you know, have our own individual roles.
Right.
But we work in tandem, in harmony, for the most part.
and we all know people that don't. You know, we all know, I've worked with bands in the past, too, that one thing goes amok and, you know, the wheels come off.
Well, yeah, and of course, you know, bands are notorious, you know, for breaking up or expelling members after, you know, so long.
No matter what, and for the smallest or the largest things.
Right, right.
Depending.
And, you know, and I've even noticed in the radio business, the talent and the producer and the technical director, which is, you know, the person who actually runs the mixer board. Now, the producer, a lot of times, and the technical director are the same person. Or sometimes they could be different people.
But we've seen them blow up at each other and run out.
Yeah.
And it's done.
Yeah.
It's a done deal. And we've seen that firsthand. I've seen other shows where I've seen it firsthand, and you have a total blow off and blow out off the air. I've even seen people leave in the middle of a show.
I have too.
Unbelievable.
I have too.
So let's talk about being in the life flow. What does it mean to be in the life flow? And I know a lot of people, you hear that like old school, like some of my hippie friends go, dude, just go with the flow, man. Just be
groovy,
in the flow.
Far out,
man. Be in the flow. The life flow. So what does that mean? And the first thing I always think about that comes to mind when I think about being in the life flow is to see occurrences that happen in my life. Not to just let life pass me by, but to actually see things and see the meaning behind it. Like, so let's say like you're walking down the street and you run into somebody that you've been thinking about, you know, or let's say that you go to a meeting, end up meeting somebody that can really, really help you in whatever career move you're making or whatever move you're making next. Or let's say that you end up meeting some sort of love connection and it all kind of came about based on you being at the right place at the right time. And sometimes when we're not in the flow, one, we're not in the right place at the right time. We're normally in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then a lot of other times, too, when you're not always in the flow or you don't understand the flow, you just think things kind of just happen to you, that you don't have a lot of power, that, you know, the universe is just putting this on you.
You're helpless.
You're helpless.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have any power, or it's all fate. It's all fate-driven.
It just resign myself to my fate, because there's nothing I can do to change that.
To better my situation. You know,
what a horrible way to live, don't you think?
God, that's awful. It's almost like feeling like you have your hands tied behind your back your whole life.
I was going to say, yeah, you might as well just just sit in the passenger seat.
I think so. I mean, what are you doing, you know, at that point in time? It's like, just sit in the back seat, and don't be a backseat driver about it. I mean, just sit back there and be quiet.
I hate backseat drivers above all things.
I know. We've talked about that. Can you remember the last backseat driver in your car, huh?
Well, I think I'm going to install one of those, you know, the James Bond car, you know, where you push the button and it catapults them through the road.
That's hilarious. The James Bond. That's hilarious. And they catapult out of the seat.
Right.
I was nowhere near there. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I was nowhere near that highway. I was back at home reading.
Right.
Yeah, I was reading. And I was taking care of my pet monkey.
Bart Simpson. Act, you know, didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. Can't prove anything.
Can't prove anything. I'm innocent, guys. I'm innocent of all charges. And so that's the thing, is a lot of times we don't figure out the occurrences that are happening and how cool they are. And let me give you a little example of something that just recently happened. A couple of days ago, I was flying back from out of town, and I got put in a seat by the lady that checked me in at the airport, and I was like, okay, great. You know, I'm in 8C.
Did you get to choose your seat?
No.
Okay.
No. And so I got 8C. And I said, oh, what's up? She goes, oh, it's packed. It's a full house. Like, okay, great. And I knew that I was going to probably meet somebody that was very interesting. You know, I just knew it.
That's one way to put it.
I just knew it, you know? And I said, so I get in the seat, and the lady says, it's just two seats to the left, and then there's one seat on the right. It's a very small plane, okay? And so I sit next to this lady. She seems like really nice. I'm helping her with her bag and all this kind of stuff. And we start talking, and we have this long conversation. I mean, to the point that both of us were talking about how our necks were hurting really bad, like 2 hours into this conversation, because she's looking one way and I'm looking the other. And now I'm just thinking about how my neck starts hurting again, because I moved the microphone over here a little bit. But anyway, so next thing you know, we're talking and we're laughing and we're talking about dates and times and all this great stuff. And she goes, yeah, she goes, in June, that's my favorite month. And I go, really? Ends up we have the same birthday.
Ah.
It's just a pretty cool birthday. And I was like,
what are the odds?
Pretty low, I think, on that deal, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty low odds. Like, who can match that? I mean, that's kind of like almost winning like pick three lottery,
sure.
I'd say. I mean,
sure.
Maybe the lottery, five numbers, not six. Maybe six numbers, but definitely probably not Mega Millions, but you get the point.
Yeah.
But, you know, to realize how cool that occurrence is, to realize how interesting it is really cool. And it's funny because, you know, we talk a little bit more about her brother. And her brother lives in Nova Scotia and has come up with this whole new twist to meditation. He's actually just finishing a book up. Very interesting stuff. We're going to have him on an upcoming show. But just interesting occurrences that a lot of times when we're not in sync, we would have never known. We probably would have never spoke to her. We probably would have been actually upset that we were put into that seat. You know what I'm saying? Because when I first sat down, she seemed like a very nice person, but she looked like she'd come out of Woodstock. I mean, seriously, straight up, you know what I mean? Perfect, right? And I think most people see things in life as a problem instead of something that's going to work out. You know, like, for example, I thought, this is great. I'm sitting next to somebody. I'm going to learn a lot. Or, you know what? I won't. And they'll just be quiet. And then I'll just be quiet and I'll work.
No, was she totally Woodstock, as in personal hygiene?
No, she was okay.
I was going to say, being trapped in an airplane.
Oh, God, that'd be awful. I've been trapped before like that.
Yes, I have too.
Oh, those are very, very fond memories. No, she even shared her food with me too, which I thought that was quite good.
Her own personal food? Okay, I was going to say.
You know I eat your food all the time. It's so funny. Every time Bill comes in with a sandwich or something, I'm like, oh, you even offered to me. That's really nice of you, because I don't take it.
Well, I might as well offer it, because you will end up, you know, scarfing off of it.
Oh, you'll put a sign up there. I know somebody's taking my sandwich and realizing that it's only you and
uh-huh.
I that are using that refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
So thinking about the occurrences that happen and also understanding your place in the life flow. So, for example, in this particular situation I'm talking about, and this could apply to anything in your life, for all our listeners, understanding that when we're in the place of the flow, we play the part of our authentic self. We're who we are all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't become a wallflower. We don't become an egotistical maniac. We don't become difficult to see or get to. And I always think that's interesting when you see people on the plane that are definitely not famous. Okay, they're just not.
I mean, and most people aren't.
Yeah, but they got the shades on, and they got the cap on, and they're playing that whole role,
yeah,
right?
They're too cool for school.
They're too cool for school, but they're missing out on life. I mean, the only extra thing you got to add on is that phone right in the center of your face, looking at that, and you're missing out on everything.
Actually, I always thought it'd be funny if I were to, you know, wear sunglasses and, you know, have that kind of attitude and pay people to... As you're about to knock over your water bottle and adjusting your microphone
for the third time.
Actually, more than that, for the sixth time. And, you know, pay some people to act like paparazzi and just come up to me and start snapping pictures. You know, and I just hold my hand up or whatever.
Oh,
I always wonder, you know, what would people react?
They'd probably be like, oh my God, who's that guy? Who's he? Who's he? He's got to be somebody. He's got to be somebody. You know, but I think it's interesting, right, that people do stand behind, like, this facade sometimes. And try to act like they're somebody they're not, and they miss out on the life flow. Because it's almost like taking yourself out. You know what I'm saying? I've done it before when I was younger and immature and, you know, not thinking straight.
What do you mean when you were immature?
We're not talking about yesterday. I'm talking about a couple of days ago.
No, okay.
But I don't like to take myself out of life flow. So when we return, we'll be talking more about what it means to be in sync. And you don't have to be Justin Timberlake to be in sync with your life. So we're talking more about that. We're talking more about understanding your place in the flow. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're talking about the synchronicity in your life. Do you see the synchronicity in your life? And, you know, right before the break, we were talking about the life flow and how to know when you're in the flow and what does it mean to be in sync. And a lot of times, we don't always understand what that means. And synchronicity to me is one of the bases of a successful life. And it's something that I teach and highly encourage anybody that works with me, professionally or personally, especially in my practice, that being in sync is one of the highest rated things you can do. When we're out of sync, things don't come together. We basically are on the sidelines. We can't get to our goals because we're always in the way of ourselves. And I know that sounds interesting, but it's true. I mean, the one thing that stands in our own way from doing the biggest things that we want to do is ourselves. And I know that sounds odd to people that are listening right now because they go, no. It's all those people and it's a finite supply of things and there's a limited amount of resources. And that's what's getting in my way. But I have to argue that because let's look at the true perspective. Let's look at the truth right now. This show is all about the truth. It's not about the things that we say in our mind to allow ourselves to continue to get in our own way. Okay, it's not the things that we say because we watch the news all the time and we believe in the regurgitated, you know, stuff that other people tell us to believe. This is real. So let's go into our authentic self and realize, when was the last time that you stood in your own way of happiness? When was the last time you stood in your own way of achieving a monumental goal? When was the last time that you can remember having regret that you really seem to not be able to forget? And I've been there before in my past where I regretted not doing things. It was never really doing things that I regretted. It was always regretting not doing things. You know, when was the last time that you regretted really doing things? I really think it's all based on what we don't do. You know, and I think that's what's so interesting is that when we're in the flow and the life flow, we don't stop ourselves. And sometimes we might feel a little insecure. Or we might say, I don't know if I want to go through that or I don't want to know if I want to do that. But when we're in the flow, we have to step up to the plate and make it happen. And usually it's not that bad. We have to overcome some of our own little issues, our own hangups. Because that's really what they are, right? I mean, they're just old ways of doing things. We've always done it this way, and it's always been the safe way of playing. However, we haven't really gotten that far with being in the safe way of playing. I mean, when was the last time you won the World Series by being safe, right?
You got to go for it, yeah. You know, you got to extend yourself to the very limits of your capabilities, and then even maybe find a way to go beyond them. Go above and beyond what you thought you were capable of. You never know what you're capable of accomplishing until you give it a try.
And it's really true, because what about those self-imposed roadblocks that we create? And I've created some of those massive roadblocks in my past where, well, I can't get to A to B if I don't have this.
So are you talking about mind-made limitations?
Ooh, yes, I am.
I sense a shameless plug coming.
Oh, well, I think it's not a shameless plug. I think it's just a really grandiose plug, and I like it quite a bit.
So if in the 200-plus episodes of Perspectives with Ashley Burgess,
yay,
if I wanted to listen to episodes on mind-made limitations or any other topic, where would I go, Ashley?
You could go to ashleyburgess.com. You could go to iTunes, or you could go to Spreaker.
Awesome.
Yay.
End of shameless plug segment.
I love it. Yeah, because we put these self-imposed roadblocks or these mind-made limitations in our way. And a lot of times it's because it's something we've never done before. And that's one of the scariest things, is the unknown. And when you haven't done something before and you don't know if you're doing it right, is it the right way? Will people make fun of me? Will I get this taken care of? Or will I fall on my face and cry? And I think that's what we need to think about, is what are the self-imposed limitations and blocks that you've put out there? Let's just talk about socially. Socially, okay. For example. Let's say, like,
you mean like interactions with other people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say, like, you know, somebody invites you to something.
Okay.
And it sounds like a really good thing to meet people. But yet you start putting these roadblocks in your mind. Oh, nobody's going to want to meet me. I'm too scared. I don't like crowds.
Now, are you talking purely social events, or this is for, say, work or business purposes?
It could be for anything. I mean, if you're looking for love, if it's work related, if it's just social related, if it's meeting new people, say you even move to a new place and you have a friend that lives there, wants to introduce you to a lot of people, and it would be perfect for you to meet, and you feel lonely, but yet guess what? You put these limitations up there. Nobody's going to want to talk to me. All this stuff's in your head. And even if you do show up, you feel so out of your element that you're not even yourself. And so we've created these mind-made limitations, like, it's not going to work out. I'm not going to meet the right people. You know, I'm socially inept. I'm not good at hanging out with people. I'm not good at talking with people. I'm not good in crowds. And all these things that we create in our life to keep us from being social. What about work-wise? Oh, I'm not smart enough. I'll never get that job. I don't need to apply for that. If I apply for that, they're just going to make fun of me. I mean, if I put my name in the hat, I'm just going to be the butt of the jokes. I mean, like, just think about those self-limitations we put in our way. Or what's funny is that sometimes we get really devious with ourselves, right? And this is when it gets interesting.
This is where we actively try to fool ourselves, and usually it works.
Oh, yeah. Like you'll get in the car, and there'll be a reason you can't get there. Okay, so it's not about you being that you don't want to be there. It's that you're too scared, and so then you're going to blame the car. Okay, let's say something happens with the car. Let's say that you're running late, everything's going on, you really weren't doing anything all day. It's a Saturday, weren't doing anything all day, and at the last minute, you're already an hour late to the event, and you've run out of gas. You know what I mean? And you already knew you were on E before. You already knew that yesterday you needed to get gas and you didn't do it. And so you pile all that stuff up, and then all of a sudden you have to go get gas. You do that, you get there 10 minutes before it's over. Okay? You totally sabotage yourself.
Or there's something at home that you've been putting it off, and okay, I'm ready to go a little bit early. Not ready to go just yet, so let me, you know, I'll do something on this. And then 30 minutes or an hour later,
you realize,
darn it, I'm late. Well, might as well not bother.
It was just the universe telling me I shouldn't be there.
Right.
You know, it all works out. You know, I wanted to go watch the cats today. You know, I haven't watched them in a while.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times we sabotage ourselves. And for everybody that works from home knows this really well, is that when you have a big project that you need to work on for work and you're working from home, it's interesting how instead of working on the project we need to work on, all of a sudden washing all the cars or doing all the laundry at that time, or maybe just cleaning the entire house, needs to be done right
now. And
I'm
notorious for that, which is why I don't like working at home.
You're notorious for that?
Because when I work at home, I hear voices. They speak to me. And
what do the voices say, Bill?
Well, they tell me to do the wrong things.
Really?
You know, like go surf the internet or, you know, I'll just watch this, TV, what's on TV right now. I'll get started after that. You know, I am much better having a place to go to work, because then I can't get away with that.
That's funny. Like, it's like you have a big project to do, and all of a sudden there you are, like, watching some documentary.
Yeah, or some old episode on
Gunsmoke.
yeah, there you go. You know, or
I got to see
what other old TV show?
It's something you don't even need to see, right? It's something you don't even need to look at.
That I probably have seen a dozen times.
And you end up watching it again.
And I'm watching it again.
How do you feel about it when you, like, do you finally come to and realize, oh, God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What do? You just go, ah.
I just, well, it kind of depends. In all honesty, sometimes I'll be like, oh, enough. I'm angry with myself. which means I don't do my best work because I'm angry with myself.
Right.
Okay. Shut it off. It's time to go to work. Or I'll say, oh, you know what? The heck with it. I'm just going to let this go. And if they get mad at me, they get mad at me.
Yeah. No, that works for me. And I think sometimes you have to just take a break in your mind, too. It's like sometimes we put these grandiose thoughts in our head and we never take a break. And sometimes we need to. But when it comes to figuring out if we're in sync, that's a totally different game. I mean, we have to really think about it. Are we in sync in our life, in the things that we're doing in life? Are we in sync with those things? You know, and I think when we realize the self-imposed limitations that we put in ourselves and sometimes the regret that can cause, but also realizing constantly that there's always more than meets the eye. And I think when we're in sync, it's always more than meets the eye. Like when we see things, we just take that for face value. That's not really talking about synchronicity at all, because there's a lot more than just seeing. There's hearing, there's believing, there's thought. And I think a lot of times we don't really feel the power that we have as a person. Think about it. I mean, you know how people say, you know, if you believe, you achieve, right?
Yes.
If you believe it, you'll achieve it.
Yeah, and there's your inner Yoda coming out again.
Oh, I know. If you believe it, you achieve. But yes. You know how much work and belief that costs?
Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Stop. You got to do your Yoda voice. Mm. I'm not going to let you get away.
If you believe it, you'll achieve it. I'm working on that. I got a little hoarse the last few days, but I'm getting back.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm getting back into it. It'll get normal again. It'll get to be the normal Yoda soon. But yeah, if you believe it, you achieve it. But you know how much belief that takes? Everybody listening tonight, you know how much belief that takes? It doesn't take a day of belief. It doesn't take a year of belief. It doesn't take 2 years of belief. It takes your whole life. And you have to keep constantly putting yourself back into the belief system, because a lot of times the outside world can get to you. The media can get to you. Your buddy that's your best friend that seems to be more successful than you can get to you. I just need to throw in the towel because I've been working my butt off and I seem to not get any results gets to you. And so we have to reformulate and sit there and say, okay, honestly, am I doing what I want to do? Am I doing what I'm great at? Am I doing what I want to do? And am I doing what I love? And if all those things are true, and you know for a fact that you have talent and you're moving in the right forward, no matter what your industry is or what you're working on, and if you continue to believe it, you will achieve it. And when we return, we'll be talking more about how to realize that there's more than meets the eye, as well as to know how to constantly and why to constantly do good for others. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about synchronicity. Are you in sync? Are you in the life flow? You know, realizing that we have these self-imposed limitations that we put up all the time, these barriers to our success, these roadblocks, you might say. You know what I'm saying? These types of things, our own personal tear gas, really. When we start realizing that we do this all the time in various levels of our life, you know, whether it's dealing with our career, our home life, even understanding love. I mean, I think it's interesting how sometimes we create these barriers on emotional feelings with other people because we're scared of them not feeling the same as we do. We don't want to say anything. We don't want to do anything that might keep us out of the norm, that might pull us away from being that wallflower. They might have us stand out in a crowd. You know, I think it's interesting how a lot of times people take life at face value. Everything's at face value. What they see is what they believe. That's what they ingest. That's their life. And I just, you know, ding, ding, ding. What do we have from Johnny? Well, you know what? It's a very not deep life. It's a very shallow life based on what is seen. And, you know, there's more to life than meets the eye. There's this truth. There's this authenticness. There's this compassion. There is belief. You can't see belief, okay? You can't see belief. I can't see belief. I can't see Bill's belief in what he does. I can't see. There's not a big sign over Bill's head that says, Bill is a deep believer.
Yeah, can't touch it, feel it, you know, kick the tires, look
can't
under
do
the
it.
Hood, whatever. Yeah.
It's got to be within you.
Right.
And those are things that you can't see. And you have to be able to read people to understand people. And a lot of times what people say, you want to accept that as face value, right? But that's far from reality, too. I mean, I've been told a lot of things in my life, right? And if I'd be if everything I was told really was the truth and all came to fruition, I mean, there wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be here right now. I mean, you know, I'd be driving around.
How many times have people told you, even just in the past couple of years, never mind all your life, but in the past couple of years, you can't do that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it can't be done.
Oh, my gosh. I'd have a lot of money. You know, seriously,
yeah.
I had some of my best friends. It hurt me pretty bad in a personal story. I had one of my best friends years ago when I first was about to start the show. And one of the major companies came to me and said they wanted me to do a show. And so I decided to take them up on it. I had a few weeks grace period to really, you know, get it together and start figuring it out. And a buddy of mine had always wanted to do radio the whole life. And I came to him and I said, I want you to be my sidekick. And they were all ecstatic.
Is that sidekick or sidekick, as in, you know, the crystal ball sidekick?
Sidekick.
Sidekick. Okay.
They're not psychic.
Okay.
They're not psychic at all. I mean, God bless them. I think they are, but people try to avoid that, you know.
Psychic or psycho? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, the psycho sidekick that's a little psychic. Yes, we'll say that a lot. Yeah, so we
anyway.
Went through for like a week and a half. We worked. 2 weeks ago, we're working. And then all of a sudden, one day, he calls me up on the phone. He's like, you know, hey, I'm not going to do this.
What?
And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm out. You know, I got a lot going on. I have a lot of personal responsibilities. And I can't do this. And I said, okay. And it kind of hurt my feelings. And he goes, you know, it's probably not going to go anywhere anyway.
Ugh.
Okay, so, I mean, totally, not only kick
you... Arrow through the heart.
Kick you in the balls, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awful, right? Who does that, right?
Right.
But the thing is that they were creating their own roadblock. And at the time of creating their roadblock, they literally wanted to take me down with it because they didn't really know if they were making the right choice, right? But they wanted me to also kind of just go, well, you know what? I'm not going to do it either. Right? Because they don't miss out on anything, and so be it. You know, and later on down the road, we had a little bit of problems. So for the 2 months after that, we didn't really talk that much.
Okay.
Just because. I mean, you don't say that to a friend. And
sure.
It's not
yeah.
Cool. I mean, you know how many times you've probably heard that too, where you go and do something and they pull out of it, and next thing you know, they're like, you can't do it either. Oh, don't bother, Billy. It won't happen anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That has happened to me.
And it's just like, really?
So well, anyway, it's like friends like you don't need any enemies.
Exactly. And a lot of it was because they had their own roadblocks and they had their own problems that they had created. However, you know, fast forward, we're friends and that person champions the show quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I could not, you know, when I look back at it, being in sync, okay, I wasn't completely in sync at that time. Had I been completely in sync, one, I probably wouldn't have asked them to do it. Two, if I had asked them to do it because we are such good friends that I really care about them and I knew that was a lifelong dream, when they said no, I would know that the reason why they said no is not necessarily because of them, but because they could not go nationally on the show. Okay? That would have been me in perfect sync. However, being that I wasn't in complete synchronicity at that exact time, I took it as a personal cut down. Okay, I didn't see it as they're exiting stage right, okay? I saw it as not only are you trying to take out of it, but you're trying to cut me down to size two, right? And so a lot of times in life, when people tell you that, you have to realize that they're just exiting stage right because they cannot continue to roll with you. They will hold you back like a lead weight.
Yep.
Okay, and you know how many times we've held on to those lead weights? Yeah. You know how far you've gotten? Yeah.
Not very far.
Not very far. I know people that have married their lead weights.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like having concrete shoes, okay? And they marry them, and their life literally becomes a painful process.
Having concrete shoes and then getting thrown into the river.
Yes.
You know, yes. Mafia style.
And that's when they divorce you, you know what I mean?
Because you're sleeping with the fishes.
You're sleeping with the fishes now. And that's what happens when that person that was holding you down decides to get divorced, you know? And it's interesting to see friends of mine that have come out of like long periods of marriage, and the marriage was really not good, and it was, you know, the couple, the wife or the husband was holding them back so much that they couldn't be themselves, they couldn't hang out with their friends, all these things. And then it's like letting them back into society after they've been beaten down so much. It's like they have to relearn how to be somebody again. And it's like, you know, why take that on? I mean, when somebody says no, look at it like a godsend. Look at it like something that was a gift from God that was given to you. Because sometimes people don't say it the exact way. Like, my friend didn't say, hey, by the way, I know that if I go on the show, it's not going to probably help the show. It's probably not going to lead to a national show. You need to have a sidekick that's really great that y'all can work together, that's going to go the extra mile, and that's going to see the big picture. I can't do that right now, but I know that you'll find someone. People normally can't articulate that at the time, right? They just don't have the ability to do
right.
that. I mean, if they did, they would be, you know, they would be on the other side of this mic, right?
Sure, sure.
But they don't. And so you have to be able to look through this and don't see it as a personal cut down, but see it as a godsend. Also, let's talk about doing constant good. And I think this is a big deal about being in sync, is that if you're doing constant good for other people and not asking what's in return for you, that is something that keeps you in sync. Okay, when you do good for other people without not asking anything in return and not expecting anything in return, and just knowing that you're doing good for good's sake, that always keeps you in sync and in the flow of the motion.
Well, and I said earlier in the program that sync is short for synchronization, where all the individual parts have to be moving in harmony towards the same goal. And it's not just individual people that have to be in harmony or in sync. I think you have to be in sync with the universe. And in sync with the society around you.
I agree. You have to be in sync with Mother Earth. And that's why, you know, every time I go to the studio and I see a bunch of trash and I see stuff, I pick it up and I throw it away. You can't walk past injustice, or you can't walk past things that are happening or stuff that's out there and just act like it doesn't exist. Because you know what? That just means that when the time comes to help you out, it just won't happen. Because guess what? You know, you didn't see what was in it, not in it for you. I mean, the concept is, yeah, me picking up a bunch of trash around the studio, what's in it for me? Okay? I don't look at it like that way. I look at, this is Mother Earth. I want to beautify our Earth. I want to beautify our surroundings. It's not fair to trash it out. It's just not. I mean, think about it. I mean, Mother Earth is way cooler than your house. Okay? And if somebody was to come to your house and trash up your house, how would you feel about it? Not so good.
I would not be very happy with Mother Earth.
I mean, would you let him back in? No.
No.
Yeah. So the thing is, I see people all the time throwing crap out of their cars, and it's like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, you don't live. I don't know what's going on. Do you do this at your own home? I mean, what do you do?
Or it's like my mother used to say to me, were you raised in a barn?
Yeah, and would you throw it in a barn too? You know what I mean? It's like, but you're right. I mean, are you a wild animal that just like pilfers and goes into stuff and gets in the trash? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, what is going on? Are you a raccoon? Okay, and that's what
are you a raccoon?
Are you a raccoon? Because raccoons dig in the trash.
Yes, they do.
And they make a mess. And I start wondering sometimes, you know, like people just don't have. And it's like, but for me to pass that stuff up and see it and know that it exists and do nothing about it, it's wrong. And I have to step up for it, just as injustices. If you see somebody that's being mistreated or what have you, you got to do something about it. I mean, not to cause you physical harm. I mean, if there's something really there, I mean, you know, get some people involved, like the police or something, call somebody where, you know, you're not going to be physically harmed if there's possible violence, you know, or guns or anything like that. But at the same point in time, you can't turn your eye to injustice. And when we allow and do what's right, even if it's going, if we feel it's going out of our way, okay, and nothing's really going out of our way, by the way, because it's funny how when we actually go out of our way, how our way is actually even grander and greater, and those things start sprouting because all of a sudden our frequency level heightens. And when our frequency level gets higher and it is more profound, that leads us to more synchronicity and bigger and better things happening in our life. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about how we can begin to see these cycles in our life, which a lot of us fall into and fall trapped to on a daily basis. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening.
You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking about being in sync tonight, about keeping yourself and putting yourself in the flow. You know, being in sync is being in the life flow, and when we're in sync and we're in the flow, good things happen. The right things happen. We're not waiting forever to get to one place or another, but we're also not thinking about getting to that place. We actually have the fortitude, the belief system that we know that we're going to go to where we need to go. We can see the end result, and now we just got to let work our butts off and get to that point and let things come together as they do. And, you know, right before the break, I began talking about the concept of seeing the cycles that we live in and the ones that we fall trapped to and realizing the life lesson behind those cycles. Let's talk about various cycles at this point, because I think this is important.
Well, I just want to confirm for you. Now, when you talk about being in sync, you're not talking about being Justin or Joey or JC or Lance or Chris.
Yeah, I like Justin, though.
You would like Justin. Oh, no, okay. Yeah.
He's from Memphis, Tennessee. I am, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Hometown buddies.
You got to have that hometown
connection
there, huh?
Memphis. Come on. Memphis, Tennessee. Woo-hoo. In the house. Yeah, we're not talking about the boy band NSYNC that was from 1995 to 2002. Yes, we are talking about having synchronicity in your life, seeing those things, those occurrences, realizing that it's not just things happening to us, that we actually create our own reality, that we create who we meet, we create our life, and we absolutely create our future by what we do today. Everything we do in the present moment creates our future. Every single thing we do. And a lot of times with that said, a lot of us fall in traps of these cycles, right? What are these cycles? Cycles can have to do with the way we think about our life, the things that we accept in our life, the things we don't accept in our life, the people we constantly hang out with in our life, the people we constantly date in our life, the people we're constantly sleeping with in our life. All these things are cycles, right? And are these cycles healthy or are they not healthy?
I mean, there's one word that you could just boil that concept down to, karma.
Karma, that's okay? A big one.
What you do will be reflected back upon you.
It definitely will, and that's also a personal kit, too, because, for example, let's say, for all those women out there listening right now, let's talk about the guy that you've dated in the past, that you had a fling with, that you like him a lot, but you know he's really a narcissistic jerk, okay? You just know it, because he treats you like crap, and the only time that he treats you well is when you don't call him, or if he texts you, you don't respond, and so you have to play this game with each other, and then eventually you go out again. You fall head over heels again, you fall into the trap, and then he avoids you for the next 3 weeks, and you start playing this game, okay? For all the men out there that are listening that are with a woman, that the only time that she gives you anything, any reassurance, is when you blow her off or you treat her like crap, okay? And this is a big cycle that a lot of people
We all know people who are that way, and if you are out there listening, if you don't know somebody who's that way, you probably are that person.
It's true.
Just saying.
I've been that person before where, you know, you like the person that's just kind of a jerk. You like the person that's kind of like, you would hope that they're absent-minded, but you're really just a jerk playing the field, you know? And when we fall into those cycles, I've had women that have come into my office that have fallen into the cycles with the same type of men, or the exact same men for years, where there they are sitting on my couch at 44 years old, wondering where the time went by. They haven't been married. They didn't have any kids. And they're upset because, you know, loser number whatever, 25, dumped them. And it's the same cycle of people, and it's the same cycle and mode of operandi that they've done their whole life.
It's the Einstein definition of insanity, isn't it? You know, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you keep being attracted to the same type of person, same woman, same man, whatever, why are you surprised if it keeps happening over and over again?
It's true. I mean, like, for example, when I married my husband, when I met him, he was the opposite of every man I ever dated in my past. Almost the opposite, okay? He was so different from my dad, okay? My dad, there's no blueprint of my dad anywhere near my husband, okay?
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. And if you think about it, most women out there, y'all listening, you know what I'm talking about. You mostly have either dated or married a spitting image, personality-wise, of your dad. Most men out there are either currently dating, have married, or have divorced a blueprint of their mom.
Yeah.
Okay. And the funniest thing is I like it when somebody marries almost the person that's a spitting image of their mom and they have the same first name. Love that one too.
Oh.
Haven't you had that?
Oh.
Say, I've had clients actually be, it, oh. Seriously, it's uncanny. Oh, your mom's name is Jean. Okay, what's the lady? Oh, Jean? Oh, okay, wow. Or Jennifer, or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? And it's a really funny thing. Bill is just like, now he's actually hitting his head on the table at this point in time. God bless you. I can see you in the control room. That looks like it hurts. Yeah, so think about this. These cycles that we've been in, and I've been in those before. And when I met my husband, when I met the guy that ended up being my husband, he was the opposite of really everything that I'd known. And it was interesting because I realized that in order to break the cycle that I had created in my life, I had to find sexy what I did not know existed before. Okay, so I couldn't, what I thought was, and I know that sounds like it's very Oedipus kind of complex too, but honestly, people, listen, you know that. You know that somehow or not, we find our parents in some way, shape, or form in another person, and we act on it. It doesn't have to be they look like it, but it could be like a certain characteristic trait.
Yeah, personality.
Yeah, like yeah. For example, my dad's trait. A little tangent here. I love my dad. My dad is a child, okay? I love my dad. My dad is like 60 going on 18, maybe 15. And he's a great person to be around. He's a lot of fun. However, one of his main things is that out of sight, out of mind. And he's ADD. He has attention deficit hyper disorder, which means that he's out of sight, out of mind. If you're not around, you're not around, okay?
Okay.
If he thinks about you, for 1 second, he will call you and harass you. He will call you and call you and call you and call you. In 5 minutes, he'll
expect you to like basically drop what you're doing and talk to him.
Oh, yeah. In five minutes, he'll call you 4 times.
Yeah.
He'll text you over and over again. Within 10 minutes, he will have tried to communicate with you 15 times. Okay. And you haven't heard from him in a month. Okay. That's a big characteristic. And I know a lot of women out there can understand those men that you've dated that literally it's all about where are you at right now when I need you right this moment. I want to talk to you
right
now.
I expect you to wait by the phone until I call.
Until I call. And otherwise, I might not call, you know, and I don't know. And also that same whole concept of, you know, it's all about me. And I think that you have to sit there and remap it and say, what cycle am I falling into and what lesson am I needing to learn? You know, in that situation, I had to learn self-esteem. I had to learn that I was more than this. And I also had to learn that narcissistic doesn't mean hot. Okay? That's something that a lot of women forget. I mean, even with that recent film that came out and all different other films about sex and life and all that great stuff, is that a lot of women misconstrue narcissistic jerks with hot and bad boy. Okay.
Is it the cliche, you know, stereotype about, you know, wanting to tame him?
Oh, yeah. But see, the thing is, they never really do want to tame them, though, because they like that wild side. But yet they feel beaten up and they feel abused.
Here's a true story.
By not getting calls and not getting follow-ups.
True story. Real quickly, when I was in high school, I was friends with the head cheerleader. And of course, I had a secret crush on her, and just, you know, there's no way in the world I would ever tell her. But I had a secret crush on her, but I was also friends with her. I'd known her since childhood. She was dating the starting quarterback. He did something horrible to her. I forget what it was. Doesn't really matter. So, you know, she was all crying. So, hey, let's go talk. So, you know, she, you know, cries and tells me, you know, what he did. And, oh, you know, you're right. And that was bad. And, you know, you're a strong person. You don't have to take that. And, you know, made her feel better. And so at the end of the conversation, she goes, you know, Bill, I really wish I could meet a nice guy like you. And she, and now here's the thing. I know she didn't mean anything by that. You know, I mean, she was all emotional at that moment, so she didn't mean anything about it. But still, I couldn't help but sitting there thinking, well, here I am.
I'm right here. I'm the nice guy. And you're going to continue this cycle with this jerk off. And who knows and what other guy she meets after that. And you're so right. When we return, we'll be talking more about the cycles and those life lessons that we need to learn, as well as how to learn from our mistakes. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in 2 shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight's show, we're talking about synchronicity. Is your life in sync? Do you feel like your life is in sync? Do you feel like you're getting all that is to get out of life? Do you feel like you're reaping all the benefits, reaping all the gold, all the benefits? Are you or are you not? And I think you can actually sit back and realize and take a self-assessment at this point in time. Am I in sync? Because we've talked a lot about it already. We've talked about understanding the place and being in the flow, being in the life flow. Understanding the occurrences that take place in life, knowing that it's not all just something that happens to you, a happenstance. It's actually something that you create and will on a daily basis. You know, allowing the flow personally in your life and not putting up those personal hang-ups that a lot of times we do. You know, as well as those self-imposed roadblocks that sometimes we create all the time to stand in our own way of achieving things that really matter. I've done it myself. I mean, if I've done it, you've done it. This is the way it is. I've done that a lot of times where I put something in a roadblock of some sort, like if it's social setting, they're not going to like me, or, you know, I'm not going to have anything in common with them. Or as a business setting, well, everybody seems to have more education, or everybody's got that doctorate or that second doctorate. Maybe I just won't apply, or, you know, I just don't know about the corporate culture. You know, we have all these ideas and abstract, but kind of, I don't know, they just bring us down. It's realizing also about what meets the eye. Things are not what always seems to be. What we see is not always the truth. What we see is not always the truth that we should bet on, as well as constantly doing good for others and not thinking about what's in it return. I mean, a lot of times we have to do that. I mean, it's good for you, because when you do good, good things return to you, not necessarily from the source that you did good to. And let's make that clear. We've done previous shows on that about how, you know, you might do something good for somebody, but a lot of times the flow, you think that that person's supposed to turn around and do something for you. That's just the way we think about it sometimes. But normally, nothing good comes from that, really. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but I'm saying that a lot of times, something good's going to flow from another spot.
Well, and I think it's important to say, too, Ashley, I mean, you're not being Pollyanna about it. It's you know, there does come a certain point where you can't let people just take advantage of you, and you know what I'm talking about.
I agree with that, yes.
So,
and that's
a
cycle, you know, and that goes into what we're talking about here right before the last break, was seeing the cycles, right?
Right.
So if you're in a constant cycle where somebody's constantly taking advantage of you and you're allowing that, that's a cycle.
Right.
Cycles are usually not good. You know, because otherwise, if it was a good thing, we probably wouldn't call it a cycle.
Right. So friendships and relationships aren't balance sheets where one favor or doing, you know, something good for a person has to be equally repaid, you know, by an equal amount from the other person.
Definitely That's, not.
But at the same time, you know, if you're doing something for another person over and over and over and over and over again, and you never get anything back from that person, even indirectly, then I think you've got to, you know, stand up and draw a line.
And then you have to also look within yourself and say, why am I allowing somebody to walk all over me?
Right.
What's in it with me that I need to be punished constantly? And the same goes to show with cycles on relationship type rays, you know, like love relationships.
Right.
If you're in somebody that's constantly hurting you, upsetting you, narcissistic, has no time for you, what does that say about you?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm with somebody that has no time for me, I mean, what do I want? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I mean, you know, you want a relationship, but yet you want somebody that's going to run all over you? I'm not a doormat / love affair person.
No English. yeah, don't understand.
No, I'm not doing this.
no comprendo.
So when we see these cycles, when we're in sync in our life, guess what? We see the cycles that we've created in our own life. And some of these cycles could have been around for a long time. I mean, when I finally got in sync a few years ago, and you're constantly getting more and more in sync, you're constantly getting more and more in tune, it's almost like tuning up a piano. Some pianos can be completely in tune, but they can always use just a little tinkering, a little tweaking. And that's how our life is. And we have to constantly look at that and see things as they are and constantly tinker and tweak with our balance, with our in sync. And I saw a couple of cycles that I thought were undesirable because they were. And there was something in it for me. Now, whether or not that was good or bad, that's to be determined. And I had to sit back and realize, what was it within me that was accepting this in my life? So look within your life right now. Think about the things that might not be working that well or the things that seem to bring you a lot of stress. That's always a good high up. Who's giving you stress? What's giving you stress? What part of your life is giving you stress? Is it a person? Is it a relationship? What is it? And begin to kind of look into that relationship and realize, okay, what's going on here? Has this been going on for a long time? Is this similar to another situation that I've had in the past or currently having? And why am I exposing myself to this? What's in it for me?
Like, I mean, there may be certain circumstances where, okay, you've got to put up with a certain amount of stress because maybe it's the job and, you know, it may not be ideal, but you've got to put food on the table and keep a roof over the head. Or, you know, maybe there's you're being put on a project, and even though it's stressful, if you see the project through, then something good is going to happen for you in the end. So there may be a reason to expose yourself to a certain amount of stress. But don't you think, Ashley, that you need to have a conscious understanding of that?
Yes. I mean, but you know, when it's in your pastime and it's in your love life and it's in the other type of life that you actually have the choices, then you have to realize.
Then why would you? Yeah.
Why are you exposing yourself to that? And there's a lot of people out there that are doing it. And I'm sure a lot of people listening right now know that they're in a relationship of some sort that is causing them a lot of unneeded stress. Constant. I actually ran into somebody the other day and they were asking me, they're like, hey, do you know enough about so-and-so? And they've been dating somebody that I know. And they go, when was the last time you heard from them? And I was like, it's probably been several weeks and I've texted a lot and I haven't heard anything. And they were just like, are they always that elusive?
Yeah.
I go, well, you're dating them. And they're like, well, yeah, but I'll go for several days without even hearing anything from them. And I'll be like, well, if you accept that in your life, that's one thing. I mean, but you have to realize that seems to be, you know, the mode of operandi that they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you accept that and you allow that now, great. If you don't like that and you don't want that, you got to move on. Or you got to explain that you're not interested in that. And a lot of people don't want to, you know, don't want to move the boat, don't want to rock it in any way, even though they're upset and they're not being happy over it. And it's causing them stress and strain. I mean, if you want a real relationship, then you got to think about it.
Right. And you know, relationships have to be two-way.
All relationships do.
You know, at some point. And
not even just romantic relationships. Work
right.
relationships,
true.
Everything.
Very true.
Friendships.
Very true.
I mean, you can't just have a friend that drops in one day, and then you don't hear from them for a month, and then they drop in again at the last minute, you know, and you drop everything for
them. And they expect you to drop everything you're doing. You know,
oh, yeah.
I was in a friendship like that once upon a time.
And then if you do drop everything that you're doing, why?
Right.
What's that about you? Why do you feel so needy, or what is the issue that you're dropping everything? I mean, why do you even respond? I mean, that's
exactly.
Like, why do you even respond? Like, there's some people that text me last minute, I don't even respond. And it's not that I'm being rude, it's just I'm busy.
Right.
And when I do respond, I will respond. And normally it's, hey, man, sorry I missed you, but next time give me a couple of days heads up. You know, but I know that things happen last minute. And if I could have made it, I definitely would have. But otherwise, no, I can't. I'm not dropping everything because I'm in sync.
But my life doesn't revolve around yours.
And I'm in sync. If I was out of sync, I would jump on that. But I have so much going on, I can't sit there and drop that because I'll go off course. And a lot of times we have to realize that when we go off course, it creates a problem. We have to realize we have to learn from our life lessons. And I've been learning a lot lately. The last few years has been a learning curve for me. My gosh. yeah, I've learned from so many of my mistakes. And I've also realized when I've also repeating those mistakes or when I've actually been able to stop the cycle. And a lot of times to stop the cycle, I don't like to use this phrase, but it's kind of true in the human condition, is that you got to be bigger than the other person to stop the cycle. Okay. I don't like using that word bigger than the other person because I don't really think that's necessarily true. You need to be more conscious than the other person and to step up to the plate and say, you know what? This isn't working for me.
Take the higher road.
Take the road. Take the best road.
Yeah.
Take the road that gets you out of this insanity that's causing you to be out of sync. Because I know people that constantly get themselves in relationships, and it might not even be the same person, but it's that same type of person over and over and over again. And for example, let's say like the person's narcissistic and they're only there when they want to be there. And so constantly when they start getting back into the flow of their own life, that narcissistic person that only wants them there when they want them there calls them and gets them out of their flow. And all of a sudden, instead of being in the life flow, they're going against the flow. And then they hang out with that person. They have a great time. And the next day, they don't hear from that person for 2 weeks. And they're completely discombobulated. They don't know what to do. They're confused. They're confused about their own personal feelings. And then they're confused about their life. Why did I allow myself to go back into the situation again? You know, I mean, it's stupid. And we've all done it before. But we have to sit there and realize, why am I allowing this? And why am I taking myself out of sync? You know, and sometimes it can be fun to get into trouble, right? It can be a lot of fun to get into trouble, depending on what kind of trouble we're talking about.
I remember a weekend in Juarez.
Yes.
Actually, I take that back. I remember part of the weekend.
And it could be a fun occasion. I bet you did. I'm still holding out for that story. Still holding out. But a lot of times we have to realize that, yeah, getting in trouble is okay sometimes, but we have to know when to draw the line. So if it's like, if it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you got to figure out what it is in your life that you want, how much of it can you have, and where does it get in the way of your free flow and get in the way of your life positively, right? It's just the way life is. I mean, you have to really think about it.
Because too much of anything can be bad for you.
Yeah, just because pot's legalized in half of these states, even though they're in the state, doesn't mean that you should be smoking pot every day, okay? And just because
certain strains of it, you better be careful about smoking it even once a day. That's a discussion for another show. But
yeah,
I mean,
but we can talk about pot if you want. But then on the flip side, alcohol is legal and sex is legal. But you have to sit there and think about it. What's doing me good and what's doing me harm? If you're doing something that's causing you pain and discomfort or pain and depression, you have to stop and realize this is not in sync with your life. You are not in synchronicity. You are causing yourself pain. In no way, shape, or form can you be in sync and actually causing personal pain to yourself. It's not possible. You cannot treat yourself with disrespect and expect to be in sync. Doesn't happen. When we return, we'll be talking more about understanding our place in the pattern of being in sync and the reason why we find ourselves in various situations. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about being in sync with your life and how to know when you really are in sync and what not to do by being not in sync. You know, a lot of times we do things that create us to be out of sync and out of control. And right before the break, we were talking about those cycles, you know, those not so good cycles that we fall into, the traps we fall into, and realizing when we are in that cycle, realizing our mistakes and changing it. At any time, you can get out of any of these cycles at any time. It's never too late. You're never too old. Okay? You can always step out of the cycle and realize that this has actually been thwarting your synchronicity for a very long time. And I found myself in cycles years ago. When I was able to overcome those cycles, everything started coming together. I became more in sync. My life became to make more and more understanding, as well as I understood the meaning of things around me, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it just feels like everything's just being happened to you. Not that you're creating it. And we're creators. We're all creators in this world. And a lot of times we don't give ourselves the credit we deserve. We just don't. And so you can actually be credited for creating an amazing life, or you can be credited in creating a really crappy life for yourself.
Yeah.
And I've been on both sides of that coin, where you're like, well, this is all I deserve. This is my place. And so let's begin to talk about understanding our place in the situation and the reasons why we find ourselves in particular situations here and there. So think about it. What is your place in this world? I mean, what is your place in this world? Think about it. Okay, so when we define our place in this world, what are we doing? We're defining who we are. When we define who we are, guess what? We put barriers and we put limitations, but we can also open to certain things. But we're also normally creating like a finite justification of who we are. So based upon who we are and the place that we have, we define ourselves by that place and we activate from that place. So if I'm in a place of power, personal power, meaning that I feel like I'm a very powerful person, I have intent, I follow that intent with grace and dignity, and I am in sync, I will create more personal power in my life. I will create more power. My goals and dreams will come to fruition, and I will get what I want. Okay, on the opposite side of the coin, I don't feel like I'm worthy. I don't feel like I'm that smart. I don't feel like anybody really cares about me, and I don't feel like anybody really listens to me. And that's my place. So guess what? If that's my place, then I'm rarely going to speak my mind. I'm not going to really know my real goals because I'll never think that I can achieve them. And sadly enough, I will keep myself in my place. Okay? In my place. And that place is a very unhealthy, uncool, non-powerful place where I will constantly be put down and put in my place. Okay? Because I've created the place. If you're the creator of something and you believe it to be true, you will constantly see it in all your reality.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It's true. I mean, like, if you and I feel like this is just like a really crappy show, we would be just like, well, it's not even worth doing, so let's just stop doing it.
And we would find excuses, probably not to do it.
Yeah, you know, and you, like, just be like, well.
And by the way, you know, I'm you know, a radio producer, and not necessarily just for this show, but for the radio station I'm home based at. I run across those shows all the time.
People where just you, like do that.
You're replaying, you know, shows like every other weekend or something like that. It's like, you know, you put into, and this, you can say this actually about everything in general. You get out of it what you put into it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so think about that. If my place is I'm a powerful person coming from a powerful, passionate position, right? And I know that that's my place. I'm going to act in the way that that's my place. I'm going to act in the power position. I'm going to act with passion. I'm going to act with dignity. And you know what? I'm going to get what I want. That's the way it is because I've created my place. So, you know, the whole concept of thinking out of the side of the box, I think is kind of interesting, but I really don't like that metaphor at all. I mean, I think just get rid of the box altogether. Recycle the box. Go put it in the green recycle bin and forget about the box. I mean, why can't you have a triangle?
There is
outside
no
the
box.
Triangle, you know? There is no box. See? Oh.
There is only a circle.
There is only air.
Yeah.
So think about this. Understanding your place. Where is your place in life? How do you define your place? And realize that you consciously and subconsciously choose on a daily basis based on your place. Okay? So let's talk about that again. So, Bill, our
yes.
place is a good place.
Yes.
And we've worked on that. But sometimes we can have self-esteem issues like everybody else.
Sure.
And sometimes you feel like maybe there's something that seems so stressful and insurmountable that you sit there and go back to the drawing board and go, maybe I underthought this. Maybe there's no way I can possibly do this.
Or maybe we overthought it.
Or overthought
yeah, I mean,
it.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, in our interactions with each other over the past three, almost 4 years, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, some days are better than others,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think most days, I mean, we get along great.
We do.
You know, some days we, you know, butt heads, but that's everybody.
And I think that a lot of times when people butt heads too, it's all personal. It's not
yeah.
about each other. It's about the things that we're dealing with
right.
inside.
Right.
So anytime you get to that next level, so let's say that you create a place of power and you're working with other people as well. A lot of times when we have new things that occur, it's, you know, like the different levels. So you level up at each, right before each level up, you're going to feel strain and stress. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You're going to feel strain. You're going to feel stress. You're going to feel like, well, nobody listens to me. My opinion obviously doesn't matter. Okay. But when you go through these, I like to call them growing pains
because mm-hmm.
you're growing. You have to grow together and you have to let go of our own limitations that we've created because when we were young, we might've created our place. And our place might have been kind of small and finite. But when we're going to a level that's not small and finite, it can be almost very overly stressful when we don't know all the answers. And you're never going to know all the answers, by the way. And if you try to think about all the answers and all the repercussions, you're just going to get stuck doing nothing. You're going to get stuck in the minutia going, my God, I can't do this. This is too overwhelming. I'm done. And I've been there before. And so now you just got to focus on the prize. What is the prize? Okay. If you're golfing and you know that that's a par four and you can see where the flag is and you know that you got to get the ball to that flag, you're not going to sit there and think about every single blade of grass. You're not going to think about every single, you know, person that's watching the game. You're not going to think about every single point of the wind. You're going to know which direction the wind's going, but you're not going to sit there and think, oh, well, the wind just shifted the last minute. You're going to drive that ball to that spot, okay? And it doesn't matter if it takes two, if it takes three, what does it take? And you get there, and mm-hmm. that's life. But if your place is not even on that golf course, you're not even going to be playing.
Right.
Because you don't deserve to play because you're not good enough to be out there. So think about it. Everybody that's listening right now, you know what I'm talking about. And no matter what your stage is of life, if you're a CEO, if you are a secretary, if you are a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is, it doesn't matter your title. This is about you as an authentic, holistic person. Where are you in your life? What is the position that you've created? And why did you create that position for yourself? And realize all the things that you act consciously and unconsciously out of. And then refigure. Maybe you need to rechange that place of yours. Maybe that place no longer defines you anymore. Maybe you've overaged that. Maybe you've actually grown out of that place. It's almost like putting a really big tree in a small pot. And it's sad because that tree is going to get stunted and it's normally going to die
mm-hmm.
because its roots have nowhere to go.
Right.
Okay. And so that's the thing is that sometimes you got to like,
that's
let
another
go.
Metaphor. By the way, you know, you got to establish roots.
You got to establish roots and you got to let the roots grow.
Yep.
And you can't sit there and stagnate yourself and sit there and go, okay, I'm stuck in this little place and this is as far as I'm ever going to go, because you're never going to grow that much. I mean, it's like a bonsai tree. When somebody keeps pruning and keeping you in a small, small little tray.
And defining your shape.
Yeah, forever. All the time.
Yeah.
But you're doing that to yourself. And that's the key, because you can always change the pots out. You can always change how much room you have. But it's just you actually realizing, oh, yeah, I can do that. You know, I can do that. I can walk out of the house. I can do this. I can believe in myself. And that's the key right there. And so really take time right now, and especially after the show, and maybe really think about, what is the place that I've made for myself? Do I like my place? Am I comfortable with my place? Am I too comfortable with my place? Am I insecure? Am I sad about my place? Could I be doing more? Am I a better person than this? Am I more powerful than this? Am I being walked on? Okay? Is this a shallow state of mind to be in? Am I not achieving things? Is there a lot of regret that I feel? Do I feel like I've never put myself out there and I'm constantly looking from the sidelines at other people's lives? Am I constantly watching like TV shows and reality shows and wishing that I was one of those characters in the show and not my life? Do I center my life around things like TV shows because my life seems like I don't have a life? And that's the thing that you got to think about, that is, life is way more interesting than fiction, okay? It just is, because my life's been pretty interesting, okay?
That's one way to put it.
I can't talk about it all on the show, but eventually there will be a tell-all.
It is a family show.
There will eventually be a tell-all.
If we ever get an XM satellite show, well, then you just go to town.
Oh, my gosh. I think a lot of people would like to hear that.
I would. I know I would.
I know.
I'd pay money for it.
It would be awesome. I know some people that would probably try to pay me off not to talk about them.
However, yes.
We will talk about everybody.
I'm just kidding. Right.
We're going to have to let the cat out of the bag at that time. Okay, all the cats.
Faux show.
All the bags, you know what I mean? So let's talk. When we return, we're talking more about the place that you define, and also acknowledging everything in our life, being able to speak it and accept it and understand what we want in life to create the perfect place. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, right before the break, we were talking about synchronicity and understanding our particular place. What is your place in life? How have you defined your place? What are the parameters? What are the limitations of your place? If you can look and see that, which is very important to figure out, because I had to step back and look at it almost as if I was looking at someone else's life. It's a lot easier to analyze someone else's life than your own. And if you step back a little bit and try not to make judgment calls on yourself and beat yourself down and tell yourself how bad you are and how stupid you are, you can sit back and kind of start realizing, start taking into consideration the people you have around you, the judgment calls you made, the assumptions you've made, the decisions you made about your life. And a lot of times when we look at those decisions, that's where we can realize the place we come from. Am I coming from a power position, or am I coming from a weak position? Am I coming from a place of happiness and joy, or am I coming from a place of negativity and depression? Where am I coming from? Because this makes up my decisions, and it also changes my situation. And that's what's so important. And so figure out your place. And I also like to figure out, like, how to be fluid. I mean, being in the life flow means that you're not concreted down in one particular place. You don't have to be stuck in one place. You're human. You're not, like, planted like a flower where you have to stay in that one plant bed outside for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's a journey. And,
it's a journey.
You know, you're always going to be constantly moving. Whether you like it or not.
You are.
If for no other reason than the people you interact with
are
going to be moving on.
They'll move on. They'll grow. That's what they call growing and moving.
Yep.
And that's like with marriage. I have clients in my practice that grew up. And they realized who they were years into the marriage. Because at first they were lost.
Better late than never, right?
Better late than never. Yeah, and they get there like, man, this is really what I wanted, but I'm married for this. And then they start realizing that that person's really not growing. Or they realize that they've grown apart a lot because they married maybe for the wrong reasons. or they also married because they felt like they needed this person for one reason or another. And so I do a lot of counseling with married couples because I sit there and say, let's find what you love right now and let's grow that particular alignment so that you can understand the growth that they're making, because usually people aren't just stagnating. There are some that just stagnate and just stop growing. But for the most part, most people grow. It's just, do you understand and are you growing together? Or are you growing separately? And sometimes when people grow separately, it's because their needs change, because they didn't necessarily get married for love. They got married out of a need, whether it is because they were alone or for the money, or for the security, or for just the companionship. And eventually they realize they need more, or they don't need it. And so think about that. How are you growing, and what's your place? So I'd like to tune right now to something that's really recently gotten to me, something that's been very interesting, and this is kind of an out-of-the-box theory, and I don't think I've ever heard any...
There is no box.
Oh, yeah, there's just a triangle.
We just established that.
Oh, yeah, we recycled the box.
We recycled the box, and now there's only a circle.
Okay, so let's throw the box out. Put in don't throw it in the regular trash, okay?
Recycle it, yes.
You can first play with it like when you were a kid, when we used to play with the boxes and make like little forts and
actually,
stuff out of it.
One good thing is you can flatten it out and take it like to like a hill.
Yeah.
And slide down it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Go tobogganing. Yeah.
I love that.
That's a lot of fun.
You can slide down it, it's like...
Yep.
Watch out. Be careful. Don't get in trouble. Don't get hurt. Wear your seatbelt. There is no seatbelt on the box. But yes, be the box. Be one with the box there. So yeah, so think about this. So get rid of the box. There is no box. And this is something that I haven't heard anybody talk about ever. And I just haven't ever heard anybody talk about it in my whole life. And so we're going to talk about something right now that you probably haven't heard of either. So we have to acknowledge something. And this is kind of a deep thought process. And this is from a power position. Acknowledging that everything that is spoken, everything that is heard, and everything that is done is spoken to us, is about us. And it's hard to explain this concept because this is so really amazingly conscious. So think
about it. It sounds deep.
It is. It's like when you're in sync with your life and you're doing exactly what you need to better yourself, to do the right thing, to respect yourself, okay? Think about it. You're respecting yourself. You're doing the right thing. I mean, you know, you occasionally can get into a little bit of trouble here and there, but for the most part, you are on par, okay? Because otherwise, the trouble stuff, all the side stuff that's interesting but not good for us gets us off target, right? It always does, even though it can be fun. But it does get us off target, okay? So when we're in sync and things are all flowing, when you walk into a place and there's a song in the background that's playing, and it comes on when you show up, it's directed toward you. Think about it. I know this sounds really weird, but it's true.
Is this the universe directing it at you? Or what?
It's the universe.
Okay.
So if you think about when you're really in sync and you start paying attention to everything and everyone, everything around you, it almost is like a melody pattern. Like it's almost like... your life is, it's like so cool. It's like a symphony. Like your life is not just you. Your life is you, the power, the energy, the force you have around you, as well as everything you come into contact. If you actually can connect with that, that's for you.
Maybe I can use a sports analogy here. You're in the zone.
You're in the zone. You're in the zone. That's
what that sounds like to me, is being in the zone.
It's perfect. And it's amazing because it's like, everything just is starting to speak to you and you catch on to everything. And once you realize that this universe was devised to be a really interesting scenario, like every part of it is devised to be unique and different and just mind opening and amazing, you start realizing that there is no coincidences. Okay? You create the effect. You create the zone. If you're in the zone, as Bill says, there is no coincidences. Everything you have actually created all to happen.
You're perfectly in harmony with yourself, with the universe around you, with the people around you.
Perfect. That's exactly true.
Yeah, it's like when athletes say when they get in the zone, they don't. That's it. They no longer hear the crowd cheering.
Exactly.
You know, and they can only hear their own heartbeat, and it's like time just slows down. And you know, like in baseball, you can see the seams of the ball coming at you.
It's amazing.
You know, and it's one of those once in a lifetime type you know, things.
And you can do this. And the cool thing is that as an athlete, that's one thing. But, you know, you can be in the zone 100% of the time. You can. You can be in the zone. And sometimes it can be hard to stay in the zone. And some of the things, some of the reasons, maybe some of the factors why it can sometimes be hard is if you're in that zone and you're in synchronicity and you're in the zone and you're feeling it and you know it, the things that can take you out of that zone can be the attitude of others if you take it personally. That's one of the biggest things that I've seen. That when I teach how to be in the zone, when I teach synchronicity to my clients and we work on them being in that particular zone, one of the things that can take them off target is somebody that's rude. Okay.
Oh, especially for me, I cannot stand rude people.
It's hard to deal with.
And in fact, I get so angry that I'm literally speechless.
It's hard to deal with.
So, yeah.
It's really hard to deal with. And, you know, the thing is that we have to come from a place of power, right? And so when that happens to you, you can't get to that level. Don't go down to the level. Stay where you're at. And sometimes you might not get, they might not care about you. It might not matter, but I'm telling you, if you are you in the moment, authentically you, it always works out, okay? Mm-hmm. And I had something happen the other day, and it almost took me off my game. I walk into the 7-Eleven, and I had my dog on a leash.
Buddy.
And he's a sweetheart. I mean, he might lick you, yes. But that's about it, right?
He'll lick you to death, yeah.
He's a sweetheart. And I went to go check out. You know me, I was getting some lottery tickets, and
talking to everybody next to you, talking to the car, talking to everybody.
Yeah, talking to everybody, you know, and everybody that I talked to had just left, and I walk up to the counter, and I put my ticket up there, and this woman looks at me, and she stands there, and she looks all odd. And then all of a sudden, she has like a cockeyed look on her face, you know what I mean? Like the, I'm about to tell you something kind of thing. And I was like, and I looked at her, and I said, are you okay? And then she looks down at my dog, and she, like, looks out of the side of her eye at me.
I can picture this
you
happening.
See that? And, yes. And I go, are you okay? She goes, what? And I said, oh, you have a problem with my dog being here. Oh. And she goes, yeah. You know, and she says something else, like, flipping back to
me.
Right?
Like, did she do the neck? You know, thing.
Oh,
neck twist
she looked
or
at me
hip,
all messed up. Like she had
twist,
one eye yeah. was like almost closed. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. With that whole look. And then I see the woman behind the register and she's looking the same way. And the only thing that came out of my mouth at that time was, you know what? I hope if you have been in a situation where a dog has hurt you in some way, I apologize for stressing you out. Okay. My dog does not bite. That was the only thing. And then I looked at her and she kept looking at me like that. And then that's when I finally said, I have just as much a right to be here as you do. And I got my stuff and I left. But it's like sometimes you have to remember there will be people out there that will try to take you off your game. And it's not that they're trying. It's just that they're being themselves. They're completely out of sync. When you connect with, when you are surrounded by people that are completely out of sync, they will try to get you off sync because that's just the way their life is. So you got to move fast in those waters. You got to get out quickly. Okay, if you're around a bunch of friends and people that you see all the time that are constantly out of sync, you need to rethink why you're around them because they will get your life out of sync too. And that's a lesson that I've recently learned because I have a couple of friends that I love to hang out with. I love hanging out with them because they're just crazy and narcissistic and insane people. And I like hanging out with them, but you know what? They're constantly out of sync. Their life is not in sync. Their life has never been in sync. And every time I hang out with them, my life seems to go out of sync. So stay tuned. When we return, we're talking more about how to acknowledge that everything is actually speaking to you and how to feel encouragement in your life. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about synchronicity and how cool it is to be in sync in our life. You know, right before the break, I had been talking about the whole concept of acknowledging your place and realizing what place you had defined yourself as. But even more so, realizing that everything that you see when you are in the zone and you've created a powerful place and you're in the zone, realizing that everything that you hear and see is dedicated directly toward you. It's to color your life even more. It's to enhance it. I mean, a lot of times we feel like everything has just been pushed on us, that we just we get whatever we get and we go from there. But when you're in the zone and you're exactly where you need to be and you're at the right moment, things come together like a symphony. And, you know, I have some friends that I like to hang out with, and I don't know why. I think it's because I like punishment sometimes.
You're masochistic.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all to a little degree? Aren't we all?
Thank you, ma'am. May I have another?
Yeah. Oh, that hurt really good. I mean, I have a couple of people that, yeah, I really have to check my head on it. And the last few times that, the last few years when I've been, you know, supposed to hang out with them, when I'm in the groove, I just know that I should say no.
You know, that's what you should say.
Yeah, you just know you got to say no, you know, please. But then there's sometimes you don't. You say yes, and you go. And I'm going to give an example real quick because I think that some people will be.
You could probably give about 100 examples, but go ahead. Go ahead with this one.
Oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, it hurts so good. So there we are. I ended up going with a friend of mine. One of the two. I have like the two, and they're not evil twins, but the two people that literally, their lives are so not in sync either. It's just, they're not even in sync. You know what I mean? It's like everything happens to them. You know what I'm saying? But they're crazy. And you like, there's something about
they're not boring. Let's put it that way. They're not boring.
Oh, God. They're not boring. They're not boring. So hanging out with one of these people, and we go to dinner. And he's like, how do you feel about all these waiters and the way they act and all this stuff? Do they act weird to you? Are they acting weird to you? And I go, what? And he goes, are they acting weird to you? And I go, yeah, they are.
Now, what kind of restaurant was this?
Like 5-star.
Like Italian or
award-winning
steakhouse?
Award-winning chef at the Ritz-Carlton.
Okay, all right.
And that's the exact place it was at. Was at the Ritz. And so this guy's an award-winning chef. So we're sitting there and he goes, do you think they're acting odd toward us? And I go, yeah. And he goes, why? And I go, you know why? Because of you. I go, because of you. I go, these people talk to me all the time. Anytime I've ever been here without you, everybody's really nice to me. I go, so that makes me wonder, who do you bring to dinner here? Okay. And I said, dude, are they wondering if I'm a prostitute? That was my first question.
Wow.
Seriously.
So you actually said that?
I actually said that.
Wow.
And he was like, maybe. Well, he goes, I have a crazy, you know, I have a crazy group of friends that I like to hang out with, and I like to take random people to dinner. And so they might be, I was like, they don't know where I stand. They have no idea about you. They're completely guessing about you. And so I'm basically one of these people that are with you, and they're probably made all kinds of judgment calls on you. And it's true. When you're not with the people that you need to be with, you normally get put into a spot that might not be the most glamorous of definitions. Okay?
Yep.
And I hate to say it, because birds of a feather flock together, but some birds of a feather aren't birds of a feather, but they still like to flock with that bird because the bird is kind of cool.
they're a bird brain, maybe.
But it's a bad idea to be with that bird, because you're gonna get crapped on. Okay, I'm seriously, you know, mark my word with this. Okay, and think about it. Some of your friends that you love to hang out with, but they don't treat you that well because they're in their own world. Look at the rest of their life and realize how in sync they are. I mean, think about it. Look at it. And the more you hang out with people that are out of sync, that aren't doing what they need to do, that are kind of out there probably on the edge somewhere, way off the other side of the bell curve, sometimes that's cool and sometimes it's going to hurt you. And more times than not, it's going to burn you. And I've been burned by it before.
Yep, we all have.
And we still put our finger on that hot plate. Even when the waitress comes by and says, plate's real, real hot. Don't touch it.
So what do you do? You touch it.
Oh, that's hot. Oh,
but,
God.
But goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. I don't know what it is about the human condition. Don't eat that apple. Oh, okay. I'm going to eat the apple.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
It was poisonous. It killed me. It's serious. It's like the whole thing. It hurts so good. You got to think about those things, because those people will take you off target. And you will take yourself off target, and you have to actually ask yourself another question. Why am I sabotaging myself? Why do I want to take myself off target? Why would I rather do this than actually stay in the flow? Right?
I just like that sound effect. I'm gonna keep doing it.
You're gonna keep doing it. It's like we're
in 50 Shades of Grey.
I'm not applying any of that. You know, we're at some woman's place that's got these 10-inch stiletto heels and grinding them into Bill's back while Ashley does the rest of the show. Yeah.
Well, how did you know?
I knew it. They're red leathers.
Must have been cameras in there.
No!
I didn't tell you about that.
She called up earlier.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
She's got a thing for you.
She spilled the beans, huh?
She's got a thing for you. You're her favorite customer. You're her favorite customer. Seriously, I've been on that side of the fence. I've done it. I even sit there and think about it still to this day. There's certain people that I really like to hang out with, but every time I do, it takes me off target. It's like you have to cut the strings. And they can be really hard to do, but eventually you got to do it because you got to get out of that routine. You just got to move on. You know, and the biggest thing, too, is realizing that if you realize that everything's speaking to you when you are in sync and when you are in the zone, we do make mistakes. Okay, I've made mistakes. I'm thinking about making a mistake right now. You know what I mean? Okay, well, I really do like hanging out with that person. But, you know, a lot of times if you think about it, you like the idea of hanging out with them more than you actually like hanging out with them. Because when you hang out with them, you realize that you have absolutely nothing in common.
Right.
I mean, I hung out with I have the two in my life.
The toxic twins.
Yes, I have the two. And the other one, like I'm sitting there the other day at lunch, and we're laughing, and they get like, they're drinking Diet Coke. They're eating like the absolute worst that you could eat. I mean, like brisket and all this kind of stuff. And everything I say, they're kind of making fun of. And there I am just like, why am I here? I mean, this is like the opposite of normal. I mean, this is like literally masochistic. And we do this to ourselves because a lot of times we're scared of our own success. And we're scared of all the infinite possibilities that the world has to offer. At some point, I know in my heart of hearts that with those two particular people, I'm going to have to cut the cord. And I know it's going to be hard for me. But it's like I've already kind of done it, but it's like you have to be honest with them too. Because I think that we're kind of working on a deficit when we go into these situations because the other person just thinks it's all good. Like the last time one of the evil twins called me, they left me a message telling me about, oh my God, I just heard your voicemail and it made me tired just with the energy that you had. How do you have so much energy? Oh my God, I'm so tired after listening to that voicemail. I'm like,
because I don't hang out with you very often. That's why.
Isn't it true, though? It's like, it's always antithetical to who you are,
yeah,
too. And that's a good representation of who not to hang out with. When you hang out with somebody and they are antithetical to all your values and all your views, mostly, at least 80% of them, rip the cord, okay? Because you're out of sync. You're constantly out of sync.
Oh, don't just cut it. Rip it.
Huh? Rip it.
Just you know, yank it out.
Yank it like you're starting a mower. You know, just yank it. Seriously. As Bill says, rip it off and you're taking off a Band-Aid.
Grip it and rip it.
Rip it because if you go slow, it's just going to hurt you even more.
I'm a proponent of the Band-Aid theory. If you want to get something over with, grip it and rip it.
We're going to be talking more in our next shows, too. We're going to talk about more about not settling for anything less than your authentic self. And remember that's words to live by tonight, is that when you're dealing with synchronicity and you're realizing how to be in sync in your life, realize that the only way to be in sync and to be in synchronicity is to be your authentic self, to be honest and to be open with yourself and what you want. Great show, Bill.
Great show, Ashley, and thank you very much. And I look forward to hearing what else you have to say.
Yeah, we got great shows coming up for you, so
awesome.
Stay tuned. Keep being you and keep your authentic self. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 3 Shakes.